Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 748. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Got good news. We don't have to worry about Donald Trump's quest for the Nobel Peace Prize anymore.
He's true. Ending nine wars.
It doesn't help if you start 10 of them.
Yeah, the math ain't mathing. Earl is here as well.
And I would also like to say, you know, I want to go on a new excursion to another foreign country, see the sites, fill up the landmarks, you know, just things Americans do.
Okay. We're going to keep the boats and missiles out of Earl's hands. And Jeff is here as well, getting ready for a mid-March snowstorm.
Yeah, big one's coming. Getting a foot on Sunday night, overnight into Monday. So like Monday morning, there's just going to be a foot of snow on the ground.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it was like 70 degrees there.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah, it was nice. It's been kind of shitty the last few days, but it was.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm assuming you folks are similar to me, because it was 70 on Tuesday, and we got thunder and rain and snow today.
Yep.
So this morning it was like 60 degrees at like dawn. By like 10, it was raining and 35. It started snowing at noon. There were 3 inches of snow. By 6 o'clock, it was 45 and sunny again.
I had a day like that, but I did have a day where we started the day, like, I'm, like, loading my truck. It's 60 degrees. And, like, an hour later, it was 41 degrees and, like, with 30-mile-per-hour winds. I was like, what the fuck happened here? Spring, it's maybe a little overrated.
Well, it's what we call in the business fall spring. Because it always should. Because, again, the two days, like, it was so weird. Like, we just straight up skipped hoodie season. It was like shorts and t-shirt weather Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Just an illusion. It's just an illusion. You're going to be fucked for another 6 weeks, probably.
Listen, yeah, I don't likely. Fall for it. I was just really funny to, like, people are like, it's snowing. I'm like, it's not snowing today.
I can't believe we're getting a foot of snow in like mid-March. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I guess is GDC ongoing?
Yeah,
I believe that is what is happening now. So last time we talked, there was big Xbox news shakeup internally. They revealed their new plan for their next console called Project Helix, and it sounds very much like the plan that we already kind of expected. This sounds like a hybrid PC type thing.
Which is I guess a hybrid PC to me doesn't, because that's just a console. Like, I get it. Well, it's the same PC games.
Yes. Like, it's going to have my guess, and they haven't said this, but since they're rolling it out this month as well, it's going to have that Xbox full screen experience that the Ally X has for the handheld, which can now be used on that overlay of the operating system, can now be used on other systems besides the Ally. I think that's going to be what they're running here. Like, it'll have Windows 11 underneath, but the overlay will be that full screen experience that does save some RAM, about 2 gigs if you run through that, but
I just don't know what it does for the console, the device.
Yeah, I mean we haven't seen it, we don't know, and no. It doesn't sound like she'd been out there saying a bunch of stuff, but it doesn't seem like they're backing away from, and we didn't think they would either, backing away from the kind of Xbox games everywhere. So
yeah, actually it was to assuage some fears with new readers, because like they announced it and they talked about it, But even the stuff with like regards to like development kits aren't coming out until early next year.
Next year, yeah.
So a year from now, it's weird to like this exists.
Yep. I do wonder if they're holding that because like nobody can get parts.
Well, yes, I think that's also part of it. I think because also rumor came out that both of them are aiming for the 8/2027, but is there going to be enough stock to actually get that?
Right. And what are the prices of these things going to be?
$900. He says half kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already what is the PlayStation 5 at Pro at 800? 750?
Thought it was 700, but is that like cuz it comes in parts now, right?
Yeah, cuz it's digital only.
Yeah, but you could buy a drive, I think. 750 at Walmart and Best Buy.
Okay.
So $750, that's diskless.
And that's what, $80?
Yeah.
So we're not too far off from $900.
Yeah. $800+ for a system with a Blu-ray drive on it. And that's their pro model of their current console. Yeah. I don't know. Where do you guys fall on? Do you think like new consoles are needed at this point?
No. I just can't tell the difference anymore. Dude, so, I played fucking Resident Evil 9 on the Switch and it was fucking excellent. Like, I just, what more am I getting? Like, I can't tell, I literally cannot tell.
I think, I mean, there's two scams there. I don't think it's needed in the sense that Curie, these systems, I think we've had this conversation before. Neither one of them, all three of them, I guess, feel like they're fully baked devices where it's like, oh man, if this was to end now, there's a ton of PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X games that I'm just like, these are like, you know, generation defining titles.
Right.
And not to say that there aren't great games, but it doesn't feel like there's been enough to be like, oh, this has been a generation. Nor, to Jeff's point, does it feel like, you know, I don't think we've gotten to the point where you usually get to where people are like, oh man, these games are chugging along, everything's hitting 30 frames, or, you know, it's all like in 720p or something like that. So it's, but if you're Xbox, I do think you want a fresh start.
Oh, for sure. I understand why they would. It just doesn't feel like to me and Jeff as well, it seems, that the new boxes are needed.
No, they're not needed. They're not needed at all.
I think if everyone upgraded their TVs, I think that's the big thing. Is like, at this point, if you don't have like the OLED TV that's 120 hertz and all that crap, upgrading your box isn't going to do you any good.
Yeah,
like you're just not going to get any benefit out of it. And the TV market, if that caught up, like, and TVs are cheap, but not, people aren't upgrading. I don't see the need.
Yeah, and I think that was the thing. That's aside, that video games need the charge, but it's one of those things that I forget if we talked about. Is like a lot of like the HD generation was not because people were like, oh, we want HD graphics. It was because a lot of people were invested into HD TVs because those were the similar TVs at the time. Like, I mean, it's weird to say like 20, 25 years ago when everybody had the box tubes that like, yeah, you wanted something that like didn't take up half of your living room. And people didn't care about like, oh, this is 1080p, this is true HD or something like that. And I think, TV markets have seen that. I think the last few years, TVs haven't sold that because people don't care about 2K or 4K. They don't even call it 4K. What do they call it? Ultra high definition?
I think that's 2K. Ultra high definition is 2K.
Okay. But yeah, it's stuff like that where like you have to find some way to... HDR is a big one. And I, as somebody who uses HDR, I think HDR is really cool, but it's something that, one, it's hard to sell to people, and two, does take a bit. It's not like you just pop the TV out of the box and HDR is good to go. Even if you, I don't use YouTube movies on my TV because for some odd reason that app just washes out the HDR. Everything else is fine with it, but like that just like, and I'm like, okay, it's annoying that like I don't want to have to fix it for YouTube movies every time I use it.
You know, it's funny. So I just got an AI enabled TV that now goes through and does all these settings for me.
Oh,
this is the real future.
See, that's something that I could see. Because again, that's I think somebody was saying that people need to know the difference between like AI and like generative AI and predictive AI.
Yeah.
Right. This is just like, this is basically a personal assistant. This is like your series and stuff being like, every time, just adjust my TV for me.
Right. I think that's fine. Right. Like,
yeah.
That seems useful. Because I don't know how many times I've been over people's houses and it's like, what is wrong with your television?
Yeah.
What is this motion thing? Oh my gosh, that's happening? So annoying,
I don't know how, like, I'm usually bad about seeing frame rate and this and that, but I do not know how people do not see motion smoothing. Like, it is like, if I'm somewhere where there's motion smoothing on a TV, I can like not really pay attention to what's on the TV because it's like driving me fucking insane.
Yeah,
watching it. It's wrong.
Yep.
It's because I mean, for me, it gives everything like that cheap soap opera look, and it's so jarring. And it's weird because it's the same issue. Like, I'm not a huge frame rate person when it comes to video games, but like, if something's like, oh, what is it? It's 48 frames per second on that stands out so much to me. And I think because you're so accustomed to TV being whatever it is, I mean, I think TV's 24 or something like that. Like broadcast TV, not like your TV.
So. It what used to be, I don't know if it still is, but yes, broadcast TV was filmed at 24 frames per second.
So yeah.
Well, just get ready, guys, for super high vision.
Can't wait.
I have a question for you guys.
8K, yeah.
Before we move off the topic.
Mm-hmm.
What was the last console you bought where you were like, oh, holy shit, this is a leap. Like, I never saw a game that looked like this on the previous gen.
Well, two different questions in my head, because there are games that I think look stellar, but it's not necessarily, I think to your point, like, oh man, this is like the 1080, you know, like the 4K experience. It's more like, this game has a real, like we do end of the year. We divide it into best graphics and best
visual, best look.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, like, you popped in your first game for that system, and you were like, "Holy shit, this is like
360 PS3 era was it?" Because that was when upgraded to HD. Before that, like, you know, Nintendo Entertainment System to Super Nintendo or Master System to Genesis, like huge jump, right? Because it's increasing by double. Then, you know, Super Nintendo to N64, huge jump again. PlayStation, also a huge jump, just not quite like just different.
Yeah. And I think that was the thing. A lot of it was, I think what happened with this industry, and this is just me being an old man, is like, to Chris's point, some of it was graphical, but some of it was, there was just use in technology where it was like, we just assumed graphics. It's like, no. Oh, like, you could have like a example, I'm playing a beat 'em up night with my friend, and like the fact that like the Nintendo and Super Nintendo generation and Genesis generation did two players, because that's what you had. You had two players on screen at all times. And then you come to the N64 and the PlayStation, and it's that like, oh, we have 4K games all the time. To me, that's a big key, but that's not, you know, that's a selling point, but it's not a selling point for everybody. I think one of the bigger ones, online gaming is a big one, but also internal memory. Like, the fact that you don't have to manage like 50 different memory cards anymore, that was also a big selling point to me.
that's all fair points, but I was just basically visually, and for me, to answer my own question, it's the same as Chris. It was Call of Duty 2 on Xbox 360, where I was like, whoa, this was not possible on Xbox.
For me, and I think because I bought it, was Uncharted on the PlayStation 3.
Okay, yeah, and that game still looks good. Like, and yeah, you know what I mean? Like, games have looked good for a really long time now, and there's been, like, what was the leap of this generation? It was not, it was just, like, faster loading times.
Yeah, right? Which is it's huge, though. It's
cool. It's cool, don't get me wrong.
But there's still loading times. Yeah. They're faster. They are faster.
It's also just one of those things, because it's like, we didn't have loading times before. Then they became
a thing. It's just so incremental now. Like, I don't care about the systems anymore. I care about games. Just give me the games. Like, I will buy it. I'll buy the new systems when they come out, because I'm fucking an idiot.
You want to play the games. You want to play the games that they're going to release on. That's the other thing that I'm wondering, though, is because, like, there are still games being released on PS4 and Xbox One.
Yes.
So, and, like, you know, that's always happened. There was PlayStation 2 games being released well into the 360 and PS3 era, and there were 360 and PS3 games being released well into that. But it's kind of blended this gen, where it's just, the Series X and PS5 are just kind of better versions of the previous box.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think, again, like, the fact that they've really not been able to justify these new systems yet, in terms of, oh man, like, here is this brand new experience that you've never seen before. Because I think we'll talk about it. If you look at the hot game, like, you talked about Resident Evil, but the game that's been taking up oxygen in the past 2 weeks, I mean, I think it's a good looking game, but I don't think it sets the world on fire with Pocopedia.
I think that comes back to, right, Jeff said all he cares about is the games, and, like, really, yeah, that's the core of it. Like, give us good games, we'll play them where they're at.
I'm just not itching for a new Xbox yet, because, like, the last two generations have just been like, yeah, these look good, but it's like, games have been, I just feel like games have looked good for like 20 years now.
Yeah.
Yes. If I played a game that came out today, and then I played a game from like the launch of the 360, I'm going to see the difference. But it's been so incremental along the way that it just doesn't feel like, it's just not the same excitement when you get the new system anymore.
Yeah, because it's not like, oh man, this is like so much better than what we pre. It's like,
and that's how it used to be. Like,
this is the most attractive Kirby game I've ever seen. Oh my god!
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. This looks just as good as the game I played on the old system this came out.
I mean, honestly, I think the bigger thing is we have to figure out how to sell games again. Like, I think we'll talk about it in the news. Like, Highguard, since it was recorded, has died.
Yep. Yesterday? Or today? Yeah. Or was it today?
I think it was yesterday.
Yeah. Highguard. I don't know if they had announced it was dying.
I forgot if it was before or after. It might have been right after we recorded the last one.
That sounds about right.
But yeah, and the fact is, I mean, like, Highguard is just the most recent example, but you see that. You see, like, even a game like Battlefield that did super well, reviewed well, EA's ain't off staff from that game.
Not just reviewed well, I believe Battlefield was the best-selling game last year. They laid off a ton of staff from the different studios that worked on that.
To be fair, the game is finished now.
Yeah.
There's no development left to do.
Well, but keep the team around. They did a really bang up job.
But to do what? Like, most of those guys aren't going to be working on, like, the concepting of the next Battlefield. They need a much smaller team to, like, work on the DLC, because, like, it's not.
Well, okay, the same as building the game from scratch. Here's the crapshoot, and here's the deal. In the older times, that would then mean that team would go on and do some weird side game that's smaller and more niche, while you ramp up.
we don't really do that anymore, right? Yeah. Like you're not getting you're not getting Oni from Bungie in between like them putting out the Halo and waiting to work on Halo 2.
Yeah, I mean a good recent example that I do adore the game, Captain Toad Treasure Trackers. Here he was like, we have this character we introduced in Galaxy. We played around with him in 3D World. Here's like a like it's not going to be a big Mario budget game, but it's a really cute 4 to 5 hour game that they've been able to resell 3 times now. I think it's a Wii U game that was also on the 3DS and the Switch.
That sure, that checks out.
So,
yeah. So, Highguard, we can add that to the list of things that died in 2026.
I think it lasted 3 Concords. I think that's the new
3 Concords. Yes. Lead developer Scaramucci is very proud.
And I broke my promise. I did not get to play it before it died.
Oh, you didn't get to play it?
No.
Wow. Too late now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Highguard's gone. Bungie did release Marathon, which seems that, like, there was some positive buzz around that. It seems to have died down a little bit, so I don't know.
It's one of those weird ones because, like, it seems like the reviews were not great to it. But part of it was a lot of people saying, it's one of those games that if you get into it, you get into it.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is like then you have to get into it. So,
well, Bungie has like they have their fans. So,
and it's also a paid game. So,
yeah. But yeah, I mean it's up at it has 16,000 reviews on Steam currently. So. It's doing pretty well.
Can I also say, and this is not a Marathon exclusive thing or anything of the sort, but it's just the most recent example. I get it. I enjoy numbers myself, but I hate the everybody who reports out on Steam. Yeah.
It's kind of nonsense. Like, this has X amount of concurrent players.
Yep,
like,
and there are people who literally are just watching it.
Oh yeah, because it's weird. There seems to be a contingent of people that I don't know if they like games or not, but
I'm pretty sure just a lot of people don't like games.
out here, just like rooting for stuff to fail. Like,
yeah. And it's either that or they want to be one of those people who like, yes, I told you this was gonna. I'm like, I get it. Like, listen, I'm not gonna say I sit there and root for every game, but I'm not gonna say I don't actively root against the game.
Yeah, I just don't care. Like,
right?
Like Marathon is just that's not for me. Like, but it's just I hope it does good. You know, whatever. Like, I like Bungie shooters. I don't like the online only type games.
Yep.
I don't know if I've ever played whatever the fuck an extraction shooter is.
I was gonna say no. I played Rainbow Six Extraction. And what's the best? I mean, they're basically PVEs where the main thing is it's essentially kind of a horde game mode. Not horde, I guess, but a lot of it is like go someplace, complete an objective, get out there safely.
It's just like you know, like Destiny. I just never got into it. Like but like when I played it, I was like, mechanically, this is a great shooter. I just wish they could make like stuff like Halo again.
Yeah, and Destiny at least you could play by yourself if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's just been so long. I didn't even think of it.
But yeah,
suck, like, but you could.
Yeah, like it was definitely more fun with two other people.
Well, my problem with Destiny was always not that. It was like it was a 3-player game, which always sucked because I mostly did 4-player at 4-player friend groups because that's what video games are designed for. But then the raids were 6 players.
Yes. So it was like, well, we don't have enough to raid, but we have too many to just do the normal like strikes were what they were called, or regular missions. Yeah, it was weird. You mentioned Pacopia. I don't know if any of us have played it, but it is selling very well, it seems. 2 million copies, 2.2 million copies in its first 4 days.
Yeah.
Physical version sold out everywhere. Quite
enjoying it.
Your kids are enjoying it, Tony?
Oh, yeah. They're obsessed.
Did any of us play it?
Oh, nope. I've played it.
Okay.
I think so what about Animal Crossing?
What is Animal Crossing? Yeah, like, is that what it is, though? Is it like Animal Crossing
not.
Pokemon? Or
it's not
Pokemon. Well, it's got a lot of Animal Crossing elements, but it is very much finding Pokemon in their like natural environments and doing little quests for them. Would that be fair? Statement, Jeff.
Yeah. I think the comparison. Yeah, there's things that, like, here's what I'd say. If you like Animal Crossing, you'd probably like it, you know? But I just wouldn't compare it to Animal Crossing because there's like way more direct comparisons. Like, most of the big reviews.
Zelda would be.
Yeah, most of the big reviews are Mega Quest Builders, which that's, and I think it's made by that development studio.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably the most direct thing. But the thing I always think of while playing it is, I think of two things. But the main thing I think of is Viva Pinata, where like,
that's a really good comparison. That's
like the idea of that game is to attract different animals to your little area and like make them live there, right? And this is kind of like that too. But then also a lot of Minecraft DNA, where everything is like destructible and can be used in constructing things, you know. It's awesome. I don't know. I really like it. I never got into Minecraft, but I did really like Dragon Quest Builders. I loved Viva Pinata. I love this genre. So like, it's right up my alley. But it's I'd say pretty fantastic so far. I'm really enjoying it. You said your kids were playing it, Tony?
Oh yeah, so much. I think the thing that it reminds them most of is the actual anime. If you've watched like the television show for Pokemon, there are so many episodes where you go out and they meet this Pokemon and they have to do something for it. Like they find the Pokemon where it lives and the Pokemon has this problem. And that's basically what this entire game is. It's like you find the Pokemon that's on the shore and it needs this certain candle lit or whatever so that it has like a nice graveside for it to live in. it's all about like pleasing them and doing things for your Pokemon. It's very anime-esque in that regard.
Yeah, from what I gather, it's like the game that probably gives the Pokemon the most personality. Because so much of it is just you training them in the games that you don't actually get a chance to give them that personality.
I heard people compare it to Dragon Quest Builders, which I also never played.
So big. I'm sorry. Earl, are you still talking?
I don't know.
What were you going to say, Jeff?
One thing I think is cool about it is when you start the game, the world looks so cute and, you know, kind of Minecrafty that you think it's procedurally generated, but it's not. Like, my map will look the same as yours, right? But then the surprising thing is you'll find these gates. Because, like, dude, the map looks fucking humongous while you're playing it. Then you find a gate, and it goes to a whole nother fucking, like, island, like, that is also, like, designed and not, you know, generated. And so I've found three, like, whole different maps where I have like a home in each one and I could build up that whole area. Like, and so like, I kind of wonder how many of these different maps there are, because like, from what I've seen, the game is supposedly not long, but I was like, I don't know if I could finish these three maps in like the 20, 30 hours or whatever they're saying that it is. And if there's more areas, then I don't know how you like roll credits on it so quickly. Like, it just seems vast.
And also, from what I understand, even when you roll credits, it's kind of a. It sounds like after the credits is when it becomes more like Animal Crossing, where it's like you can, you know, build homes and environments for the Pokemon and yourself, and get furniture, and you know, that's gonna get a lot of customization, and you still get it in the main game. But I've been told, like reviewers are like, yeah, I put in like 30-40 hours, but rolling credits is like that's like the tutorial.
Yeah, but it's like. Once you get past the narrative and finding all the new areas and all that, you have, to, in my opinion, you have to be like kind of a Minecraft player who likes building things, which I am not. So, like, I don't see myself continuing to play it after I've found all its secrets and all its areas and all, you know, all the Pokemon I could find. Like, I don't see myself building shit with friends, which, by the way, last night I found like this long like bridge area that went way off into the distance, and you start to walk through it and it transports you to the other side of the bridge, and then you're in this area with nothing to do. Like there's stuff there, but there's no like objectives, no one's asking you to do anything. You're not like all the other areas, you're like trying to rebuild the area because something bad has happened, and this area just has nothing. It's like a blank slate. And I find out by like poking around in there that like that's the area that's intended for like, hey, bring your friends over and you guys could just like build houses and shit, right? And I just don't see myself ever doing any of that. But the main game itself, I think it's very fun if like you're into the genre at all. Like if you like builders, you'll like this. And if you like Pokemon, you're probably gonna love it. There's probably so many things that, like, I don't know, not being, like, a Pokemon expert, that, like, are just, like, callbacks to things in the series. It's really neat, dude. It's really... I have zero regrets about buying it, and I'm not the type of person that likes to, like, build stuff in Minecraft, so, like, I just don't see me doing that. But, like, the main game itself is fun enough that I would recommend it to anyone who, like, even remotely likes the genre.
Nice. Any other news you guys caught? Nothing else jumped out.
Yeah, I got one for you. You're gonna like this, Chris. Forza Horizon 6. Okay.
Yep. I do like
its that. Its map is 5 times the size of 5.
I thought 5 was very big too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, dude. Like, that's wild. Maybe they are doing something with this general, but like, it makes me like. I was already like, that was one of my games for this year I'm excited for. Which, when does that come out?
May.
Awesome. Yeah. So close. And hearing it's that big is like, geez, man. Like, I'm going to get some definitely playtime out of this.
Yeah, that will be nice because, Forza Horizon 5 and 4. And 3 took like quite some time to like get through and finish, and like I probably still have stuff to do in 5 if I wanted to, and we talked about it a little last week. Was playing Recreation, which is kind of like a Burnout Paradise type thing, open world arcade racer, and I'm done with it now, like 2 weeks later. I like maxed out my license points. There's probably I didn't win every race. I didn't win every like event, but I've basically done everything in the game. So a nice beefy racing game to like keep coming back to would be nice. Looking forward to Horizon 6.
Yeah.
That's a massive map. So have they just like done all of Japan?
honestly, might be like one of the most exciting games this gen for the Xbox is 6. Like, it like crept up on me. I'm like, oh yeah, I love that series. And then I saw that piece of news. I'm like, that's crazy, dude.
And that has been their, this gen Horizon has been their consistently best series, and the one they've been able to kind of, well, get the out. Last two gens. Yeah, it's the one they've been able to get out at least on a regular basis, right? Like 3, 2 actually launched on the Xbox One, So we'll have 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 all within the last two gens. Meanwhile, there's been like one Halo on each, one Gears on each, zero Fables. So anyway, any other news jump out at you guys?
Yes, we have to talk about it because we have the newest, greatest charity in video game, a cause that is near and dear to all of our hearts. Poor Epic Games is broke, and they have to raise the price of Fortnite money because
I completely forgot about this. Yes,
the cost of running Fortnite has gone up a lot, so it is with a heavy heart that they basically make it a terrible deal. Price going up, it sucks in general. I think it's a condescending tone of like, the cost of running Fortnite has gone up. Is it because you spend all your money doing random ass crap at everybody?
And they're giving away free games. Stop giving away free games.
In the past, 4 or 5 months, they've done Simpsons, Harry Potter, DC, Power Rangers, K-pop Demon Hunters. I think they Friday the 13th. So they're just doing all of this, and so I think it's this, and then it's also coming out of the fact that this is like right after the judge was just like, Apple and Google now need to like allow Epic to sell stuff in their stores, and Epic's like just jacking up the price across the board.
Of course, because now they can make more money on selling less.
Yes. So yeah, I guess to be fair, they're technically not jacking up the price. They are giving you. They're giving you less for the money.
Yes.
So, like for a $9 pack, a $9 pack of V-Bucks used to be get you 1,000 V-Bucks. Now that goes down to 800 V-Bucks. $23 goes from 2,800 to 2,400. The big one for me is the Battle Pass used to give you 140, whatever it's called, of V-Bucks. Which was always enough to buy the next season pass, and then save 1,400, I think it's actually. And it got you enough to buy the next season, the next battle pass, and then have a little bit extra. So, like, over time, you can grind up and save money for something. Now, it's just straight up just giving you enough to buy the next battle pass and nothing more. So, that isn't one where it kind of... So, like, everything becomes less value for it, and... It is just like one of those things where I'm like, you know, maybe it's time I hang up the. I to be fair, I don't give them money. Game Pass gives me crew, but it still kind of sucks for that.
Yeah.
And again, how they expressed it being like, hey guys, the price has gone up, so we're going to need your money. I think that was the other one. It's news. It's not news. Like, we had the final Mario Galaxy trailer this week. Tickets went on sale. And I think the big one for that was that Donald Glover is going to be playing Yoshi, which is still such a casting choice.
Yeah, because Yoshi's not going to have a ton of dialogue.
No, I mean, he's basically getting that group money.
Yeah, exactly. it was neat though. I'm looking forward to that movie. I know Jeff is not, but I'm excited for it. All right. Well, that is news. One more news.
The Gang of Dragon.
Oh yeah, they're out of money, right?
Well, the who is it? NetEase, who are funding them or helping them fund? Yeah. I think it's say they're funding them through May, and then they're gonna stop funding. So I mean, the positive is they're giving them time. It's not just cold turkey we're canceling this game. It is just like, listen, the check's done. So, but again, it's kind of because the game. I think wasn't the game just revealed at the Game Awards?
Gang of Dragon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was revealed recently.
Yep. I think it was at the Game Awards. So this is the guy who he founded RGG, and, yeah, which is the Yakuza studio, and he left there and is basically making Yakuza, but yeah, under a different name. But now they don't have the funding for it, Negoshi Studios, or they will be losing funding, as you said, sometime in the near future. Evidently, NetEase cut funding after they realized another $44 million was needed to finish the game.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, I don't know the full story, but on paper, I don't think they're in the wrong.
What game?
Gang of Dragons, the spiritual successor to Yakuza.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like it's a beat 'em up brawler. It's not the RPG version of Yakuza that they've done over the last couple.
Like a dragon.
Yeah. I mean, it, like what they showed of it, it looked good, but yeah, $44 million. It doesn't seem like a lot when we hear about games costing $250, $300, $400 million, but these games generally, like Sega, keeps their budget on those pretty tight. Like they're not expensive games.
I mean, we always kind of complain about high expectations. I assume they probably might budget it because you kind of have a rough range of what these games sell.
Yeah.
You budget to sell a bit. Yes, it's a new IP. You don't, and $45 million does not sound like a small chunk of change. You look at it that way,
right? Well, that's unfortunate for them. We have so many games to play. I don't know if we were ever going to get to it. So
that's right. I would have never played this game anyway. But sad for these guys.
Talk Resident Evil, which Jeff and I have played a bunch of. Well, actually, first, next week, next time out, not next week, our next episode, we'll be talking about Mini Shoot Adventures, which Earl suggested for our service game of the month. And I'm going to say this, I'm not going to get into the game details, but I am glad we're doing this, because I don't think I ever would have played either of the games we've chosen. And they
I would have definitely never played this game.
Interesting.
I think I would have, just because I listened to the latest Nintendo voice chat, because they were like I would say a little hyperbolic about it, but I was like, oh yeah, I gotta check this out. But yeah,
it's one of those things. I mean, we talked about it before we started recording. It's one of those weird things. It's a game that's been out on PC for over a year, 2 years now, or something.
2 years,
like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Heard nothing about it.
Yeah, I had never heard of it until you suggested it.
Because it was a part of the Nintendo Direct, the indie showcase. I'm like, oh, this looks really cool. And I'm like, okay, I'll look it. And it was like, oh, it's on Game Pass. And I'm like, oh, this is it. Because I think it literally was like probably the day after we had recorded. I'm like, oh, we were thinking about a game.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, this is
great.
No,
that's a like perfect pick, dude.
And I was interested in it because it looks like a Link to the Past. Like, oh, like, I will say it's not Link to the Past once you play it, but it looks like a Link to the Past. It's kind of like that isometric Zelda game with shoot 'em up elements. I'm like, oh, this seems like such a novel idea.
Yeah, it's Zelda with, you know, shooter elements. Like, it's neat.
We'll get into it, I guess, more.
I don't like how it tricks you at the beginning. It makes you think you can fly, but you can't actually fly.
Oh, yeah, like that's probably the first achievement you unlock.
Yep, that's what I got. Right into the water and died. Thanks.
Yeah.
So, spoiler for you, Tony, you do eventually get the ability to float, I guess. It's like
glide over water.
Yeah.
Well, I know you can like hit jumps and like.
No. You can actually just like be in the water.
Yeah. Again, it's very much like Zelda. You go through dungeons, yeah, and each dungeon has a certain power up, and that is a 8 game one, I will say that much. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about it more. We'll
talk about it in 2 weeks, but I wanted to kind of, I'm glad that, glad we're doing this. I mean, you guys are right. I might've eventually tried it, but, it's not something that was a high priority.
Yeah. So. I think that's more, I don't think it would have been like, oh man, I'll do this right now. It's just like, oh, we needed, like, I do like this, like, we needed a game. It was sort of like the day or something after. I'm like, oh, this seems like a really great day. But I want to check it out, but it's also on Game Pass, so it fits the criteria.
Yep.
On that same note, just to kind of parlay, is from that direct came, there was a demo for Genshin Attack, which is the train Tony Hawk-esque game. It's like Jet Set Radio, where you're like a train on rails, grinding tracks and doing tricks.
What's it called, Earl?
What?
Genshin Attack, I want to say. Genshin Attack.
Okay.
But that had a demo, so I downloaded that. And that's actually really fun to play. Some funky music. It's, again, it's so trippy. Because I there's actually a story, and I forget the story. I think you're becoming a train surfer or something like that. And you gotta get better to fight the bigger train surfers in the area. And I'm like, I don't know why you need a story here, but you do you. None of this is making any sense to me. But it is such a weird out there game, but it makes sense. A lot of it is what the gameplay kind of most reminds me of is like 3D Sonics, and the good parts of them. Where like you're on, like it's an on-rail game, on-rails game. You're a train, but so you sometimes you're just hopping between tracks. Sometimes you're jumping over stuff. Sometimes you have to like drop down real fast to avoid hazards. When you're in the air, you can spin the right analog stick to do tricks. Like you can do 360s, 720s, reverse 360s, stuff like that. But you also got to make sure you can land the trick so that you want to make sure you land near a track. Sometimes you might have to jump, boost, switch track, land on a track real quick, jump off, hop on another one. So it has the feel of like a very, I don't want to say old school, but like a very early 2000s arcade game. It very much feels like it would be something Sega would have made on the Dreamcast era.
And this has a demo?
Yes. I think I downloaded it on the Switch. But I believe it also has one on. I think everything has one. I think it was part of this Steam Fest.
Okay. Yep, it's also on Steam. The Switch 2. It's coming to Xbox and PlayStation. Yeah, it's everywhere. So.
Yeah.
That's neat. It looks neat. It does look like Jet Set Radio.
Yeah. Too.
Very Jet Set-y. Tony, you play anything?
Yes, I have refound my love for Madden this year.
Mm. You did. An Earl questioned your sanity.
You're playing Madden right now?
I am playing Madden right now. Like as of this very moment, I am actually also playing Madden.
It's not
Madden season, bro. 26, yes.
Madden 26. Well, it's
time to because it's when it goes to Game Pass.
Yes, it's free. It's on Game Pass. It's also like been patched to whatever. It's awesome to play right now. I am super super enjoying this game. They have fixed all the presentation issues. So like if you played any of the past couple Maddens, like the game's been really choppy and it's been really hard to like actually watch as like a football game. Really ugly, and now it's like a smooth experience. The like stadium intros all make sense now, and they've added a lot of features to the game that I think are really really cool. Like for instance, if you play franchise mode, you'll have a coach, and your coach has like these things called play sheets, which he can unlock as he becomes a better coach. He gets more play sheets, so maybe your play sheet is like a 3-3-5 defense. And this will add plays to your playbook. And then as you run those plays successfully, your coach will get experience in those plays and your team will be able to run them better.
That's a neat edition.
And then as your coach, levels up, you'll unlock more play sheets, and you'll be able to like choose which play sheets you want to bring into each game. So you can change your playbook to suit your opponent, which is super cool. I have no idea why this feature wasn't in Madden before. It makes so much sense. It's really
too hard for me to figure out.
It's also
ask Madden. Am I gonna run it or fucking do play action or pass? That's I just look at
the only thing is like normally it just gives you like three options anyway. So yeah. I mean you don't have to like go through your whole playbook, but it will tell you like, okay, this play is from your play sheet and you know will do good things for you. This play is a counter to the plays you've run. Like it'll tell you this information as you're calling the plays, so you don't have to like remember, which is kind of fun. They've made injuries actually make sense. So your players get like wear and tear as the season goes on and during games. So like your player will have a sore ankle. If you continue to play that player, maybe he sprains that ankle or breaks it. And you can like take him out of the game if you like are afraid that this particular player who's favoring that leg might get injured. Which is super cool. Also makes you want to like manage your roster to make sure your players don't get hurt. And there's so many features in the game like that I think are really, really cool. I have refound my love for Madden. It plays so much better. It's hard to like convey like the last few Maddens when you're out like calling plays. Things just seemed to be happening, and I was hitting buttons, and I was hoping things would happen. Now I feel like I'm playing Madden again. Like, I can actually influence what's going on in the field through my play.
Nice.
Mini games are really good, and you play them a lot if you're playing franchise mode, because you get to play three every week to, like, level up your players. Mini games are all really good. They all make sense. They're all new, too. They're not, like, recycling the old mini games. Over and over and over again. So
that's nice, because like they had been pretty like they had been the same for years.
Yes. So there's like you can play as an offensive lineman if you want to upgrade your offensive lineman. And the goal is to protect your quarterback. And the quarterback will be surrounded by these giant machines that shoot giant like beach ball things at him. And your goal is to just throw your body in front of the beach ball before it hits the quarterback. It's kind of a fun drill, and you're like end up running circles around the quarterback because like the balls are coming from all directions. It's very gamey, but it's actually fun to play. Unlike the mini games from previous Madden.
Previous ones, yeah, they were bad.
So,
it's nice to hear Madden is.
Madden's back,
I guess.
Madden's back.
They are basically giving like it's on Game Pass. They're also I saw it was on Steam. They're giving it away, not giving it away, but they're selling it for $14 currently. So, it's you can get it for like a song right now, but that gives me hope that next year's will be good again. So, hopefully that holds out. You play anything else, Tony?
Nope, just a lot of Madden.
Jeff, have you continued on with Final Fantasy VII?
No, unfortunately. I was halfway through it and got Resident Evil and then Pocopia came out. And I really do want to finish it, though, because it's taking up like 100 gigs of my Switch. I don't like that. And also I want to play Rebirth when it comes to Switch, which I think is in like June.
Yeah, it's in 2 months or three months.
Yeah, I do want to play more of it. What I played of it I thought was like awesome, like really cool.
Nice.
And like and playing it, like I could see there's so many things in like the opening moments of the game where I'm just like, man, I could see why this game is iconic. Like every scenario is like I kind of like the whole opening is fucking awesome, where you're going to blow up that like plant or whatever, and then like Then there's like a motorcycle sequence. Like there's just so many things that just feel so classic. Like, so I get it. I get why that game is a huge deal now. But yeah, I was really enjoying this remake of it. And I could just give up and just buy part two. Just fill in the blanks, I guess. I don't know.
I'd recommend, but I mean, not that you're.
No, really I want to.
A lot of attention just, it's to the so story, but yeah, so, it is neat. Like I'm replaying original Seven right now.
It's like, cool too.
It's awesome. But like the story is like weirdly. I mean, it was relevant when Remake came out, but like it just corporations being shitty and governments trying to impose a religious rule and like it's a little too close to home, man.
I think I said this last time we talked about it. Like I had no clue that that's what Final Fantasy VII was about. Was like these eco terrorists. Yeah. So like that's cool. You get to play as the terrorists. Awesome.
It was funny. Our buddy Sean, I guess, he wanted to play Rebirth, which is the second game in the Seven trilogy. And I was like, well, why not? Like I said, you were playing it, and he was like, man, it's too real right now. Like, I get it. Well, I hope you get back to it. But what pulled you away from it was Resident Evil Requiem or Resident Evil 9. And Jeff, I finished that a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And I think that is a great Resident Evil game.
It's so good. We did talk about it last time, right?
We were waiting for it to come out. We talked about it last week with Javi, the two of us, when we were chatting with Javi. But so Resident Evil 9, it is how to put this? It is like a return to classic Resident Evil after. The kind of first person action diversions of 7 and 8, and not that either of those are bad, but I think
those did have classic Resident Evil elements. Like Village did have a whole section where you're like in a mansion, and 7 was like we're doing Resident Evil but kind of like in first person. But yes. I would agree with you that this is like. Well, to me, this is like a celebration of like the two halves of the series.
It is classic Resident Evil, like classic original trilogy Resident Evil, and then action Resident Evil. This is kind of a game that's like a tale of two halves. So like the first half, you mostly play as Grace. It is. Mostly in a hospital, but it's a Resident Evil hospital. There's like weird doors that need special keys, and there's gems you need to find to unlock doors, and you need to find safe codes, and there's side passages, and you have limited ammo.
Bullets.
Yeah. It's like it is classic survival horror. Very much in the same vein as Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3. And then they're like within there, you get interspersed like these vignettes where you play as Leon. And those are straight up like action. Like, I think they're actually really well positioned too. Like, the gray stuff is very tense, especially early on when you only have 3 bullets.
Yeah. And then you get Leon, and he's got like an arsenal of like a bunch of different guns, and you feel badass, like especially comparatively to her. You know what I mean?
To Grace, who's Grace is very meek. She's very skittish. She's supposedly a FBI agent, but like she seems more like an FBI analyst than an actual like field agent. And Leon is just like out here, you know, roundhouse kicking people and drop kicking them and blowing their heads off with shotguns and his assault rifles and everything. Like it's wild. Like tonal shift every time Leon comes into the frame. And then about halfway through, it shifts again. Grace kind of takes a back seat for a good third of the back half.
Yeah, like she like,
sounds like she already had taken a back seat.
You
no, like you play as her for the majority of the first.
You just
half.
Don't like those times. You don't enjoy it.
No, they're great. It's just a different style of play. Like
yeah, and but like Chris is like almost underplaying it. Like she disappears for like
yeah.
hours of the game. Like you're playing a, like at least a third of the game without going back to her, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, like once there's a thing that happens. We won't spoil that in the story, but there's a moment that happens. She exits the story, and Leon, she's brought somewhere, and Leon is going there to get her because she's been. She's not kidnapped. She like willingly goes with the villains, but he is going to retrieve her. And so then you play as Leon making his way to this facility that she's at. I guess it's not really a spoiler, but if you're worried about that, I guess turn off for a little bit. It's in the trailer. Like they show Raccoon City, and that's where most of Leon's second half gameplay takes place at.
What is cool? I mean, you mentioned spoilers. It's like I wanted to tell this to you, Chris, but I was like, I'm not gonna spoil this for him. But like, you do return to the location of Resident Evil 2, like the police department. It's just like shambles.
Oh, it's awesome too, because it's exactly like they've taken the remakes version of the RPD, the Raccoon Police Department. They've taken that and they've dropped it in and destroyed it, because at the end of 2, I think also at the end of 3, they drop a nuke on Raccoon City.
I was gonna say they do drop a nuke on the. Because that is originally from the start of 4, right?
4 is Leon is in, I don't know, wherever he's at.
Oh, no, but I meant like that's the backstory of the start of 4 is like you find out that they had nuked raccoons.
Oh, like when he's in the car on the way there.
Yeah, I don't think it's showing in 2 or 3 originally.
They show it in 3. They show the mushroom cloud.
Yeah, I just don't want us to play 3 again, so we forget.
Jeff doesn't want to play 3 again. So I just
and I think they do mention it in 2, because like you're trying to get out of the city before the bomb hits.
Okay.
Like that's the end of 2, is you're on the train trying to escape. So they like. But yes, they drop a nuke on Raccoon City, and so the back half of this is Leon returning to Raccoon City. You're gonna, and the big piece is you're gonna return to the RPD, which is neat. Like you're walking through areas that you've at previously, and
yeah, it's area of this game that was part of the entire Resident Evil 2. Like you just get to like do like a tour of it as it's in ruins, and there's some funny like. I think like I looked at a statue or something, and it just says, "Well, that was a weird puzzle. Remember that?"
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. If you like, it's the one that actually it's this big statue that's in the main hall, and it's the big puzzle of the Raccoon Police Department, where once you solve it, it unlocks like the secret tunnel to get out. Into the sewers there, so it's like it's neat. It's like a cool thing that he mentions, and
I love the acknowledgement though that their puzzles are weird. Like, no police department would be designed like this, and they're just like, that was a weird puzzle.
No hospital would be designed that way.
Yeah.
Well, hospitals run by Umbrella, I guess, are. So there's that, and then, like, you know, it kind of wraps up with Leon and Grace. You're trading off back and forth.
Yeah, like, you do get another decent, like, I'd say, like, half hour at least, 2 hour long Grace sequence where it feels like classic Resident Evil. But what I did want to add to this, because, like, a lot of the reviews, like, I know IGN's at the very least, were like, the game loses steam in the second half because Leon is not as good. Like, his parts are not as good as hers. And I just, like, don't think I agree with that because, like, the Leon parts still have a lot of the Resident Evil DNA in them. Like, isn't he the one that does, like, the three, you have to, like, find the three batteries?
Yeah, you're finding the three parts for the...
That was him, right?
The bomb. Yep.
Yeah, so, like, I think that the Leon parts retain more of classic Resident Evil than, like, say, Resident Evil 4, which, to me, Resident Evil 4 is much more of a straightforward action game.
Yep.
And, like, even though Leon feels way more action-y than Grace here, I just kind of disagree that, like, I like how they blended this. Like, and I like that it's like a tale of two halves. Because I did not mind the Leon part. I don't know about you, Chris. Like, I liked playing as Leon.
I didn't mind it. I'll give credence to the complaint that I think Leon's portions, the environment outside of RPD, it's a little bland. Like, it's all, like, burned out, like, bombed out buildings and gray.
Yeah.
And I still like it. Like, it's fun because, like, a lot of that is then funneled into you having to go into those buildings. So it's close quarters. It's when you're out in the open and moving around, because they do give Leon a bigger area kind of to have free roam in. And that stuff, it's not great looking, like, because it's all just gray and brown. But once you get to RPD, it's all worth it. I like Leon's stuff.
One tiny thing I love.
What's that?
Is the you could craft things. First off, I love that they added. I mean, crafting has been in the series, but, like, the fact that you could collect infected blood to craft stuff with, because you're always trying to, like, collect more infected blood off of zombies that you kill. But
so, go ahead.
But what I really love is this one thing you could craft is, like, an injectable that you, like, inject a zombie with, and they kind of balloon up and explode, and it's just, I think, like, pretty impressive graphically to watch, like, the person, like, expand. Like, it looks really good, I think. And it's super gory. It's, like, awesome. Like, just seeing this dude, like, blow up like a balloon and then fucking explode. I really enjoyed doing that the few times you get to do it.
Yeah. So the crafting, as Jeff said, is it goes both ways. You can craft as Leon and as Grace. They have different ways of crafting, though. Grace has this device called a blood collector. And when you kill zombies, some of them will leave, like, a pool of gore. And you can collect the blood there. And Grace needs the blood for some Resident Evil. That's the reason.
For some Resident Evil.
She needs the blood to, like, make bullets or these special injectables that make them balloon up and explode. Jeff, you told me that so there's this giant zombie called Chunk that chases Grace around, and Jeff said you can actually kill it if you inject it with three of them.
I think that's the only way you could kill him.
I didn't. So, like, I just...
You just avoided him?
Yeah. And you do kill him as Leon in the, like, the next section where you play as Leon. But, yeah, I didn't... I didn't have enough of the purple injectables, and I don't know. I don't know about you, but I always play these games where it's like, I don't want to use my resources.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm afraid I'm going to need them later.
That's what makes it Resident Evil. You're saving everything for the end.
Which is hysterical, because by the end, like, by the end, I had so much ammo for Leon that it's like, you need to drop, like, do you just want to leave this item you're picking up here? No, I need that item, because that's like a story item. What can I get rid of in my inventory?
Throw away all these machine gun bullets. I never used machine gun once.
So many machine gun bullets.
I think when I found the machine gun, I had no room in my inventory for it, and I needed everything else. And I was just like, well, machine guns suck in those games anyways, I think. Like,
they burn through ammo quick.
Like, it's like rifle and shotgun. Although this one has like a kind of like the Magnum, what do they call it in this? Like the
Requiem.
Yeah, fucking thing. Especially any early fucking like difficult enemies, just shoot them with one of those and they're fucking dropped.
Yeah, it's a weird gun, so it's like a handgun, but it's like a hand cannon. And if you get them, if you get some zombies clumped together, it kind of has a spread like a shotgun, so you could take out multiple enemies with one of these shots.
It is like the kill gun, but like it's just like you don't get much ammo for it until like pretty late, and it's like I had maybe a total of 15 bullets or something at one point for it, but like that thing kills things. Like you're not shooting five shots at somebody with that thing; it's gonna fucking kill.
That's another thing that they brought back here is the zombies can get back up. Not all of them, but some of them can get back up. So that always makes it a little scary, because like you're going back through a area that you've already like taken enemies out, and maybe one of them's back up and will chase you. Or
Isn't that something that like the original remake introduced? Like, it was not in the original Resident Evil, but the remake added that, where it was like, if you did not burn the zombies, they could come back.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that. I love that idea. Because it's just like, is he dead? Like, I don't know.
Brief spoiler for the ending here. The game has a choice that you have to make. So there's a good ending and a bad ending. There's only one proper ending, but you could fuck things up and you will get a bad ending.
But then you don't have to fight the boss.
You don't have to fight the boss. And
although the boss is, I think the final boss is not that bad. Like, I don't think any of the bosses are too hard in this, actually.
No, the bosses are actually... Like, I think the one I had the most trouble with was the first encounter with Chunk, because it's in an attic, and so you're kind of like trying to run around.
Is that their actual big name?
Yeah, it's the Chunk zombie
from Goonies.
That it kind of does look a little bit like Chunk from Goonies. There's another you fight the final boss is like classic
shoot Capcom the red bossing. Shoot the red
shoot the glowing puzzle orbs. Like,
I'm happy they keep that alive though.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I know exactly what to do in this battle. And I guess there's a spider fight too, where you fight
what was the spider, annoying. Was it a Chunk where like there were two floors? And every time you like shot the red part on this guy, it would like revive other zombies around. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yes.
It would be like a red mist. It was a really small room with like two floors. Like, there was a staircase, and you could jump off the staircase at the town. So you could kind of go in circles, and there were like red, like gas canisters like you could throw and explode. I had problems with that. I kept getting overwhelmed by the things he would wake up, and so like that was a maybe not even close to mid-game boss, I don't think. And that was the only time I really struggled. I think I did die on it a few times.
Yep. There's an enemy. I don't think it's Chunk, but there's an enemy that you shoot them, and you have to take them out. Like it's a multi-stage fight against them, and shooting their pus pocket explodes it, and and it like shoots this like mist into the air, and that mist then brings back the dead enemies that you've already taken out. Yeah, I think that one, I think you fight them twice, and that was in like the chapel area, the one where I had trouble with them. This game's great. Like, I think it's like a top five Resident Evil game for me. Like,
yeah,
it's really, really good.
Yeah, it's in my top five. Like, I would put for sure above it. I would put 4, 2, and 1. But I don't know what else I would put above it.
Sound like you're a huge fan of 3.
3 is like, I don't think I ever played the original 3, but the 3 remake is, it just feels so slight. Like you could like run through it. You could run through all these super quick, but like 3 especially. And 3 is the one, I don't know, dude. It just feels like a hangover of 2. Like it's just not as good.
So I like the original 3. I don't dislike the remake of 3, but I like the original 3. Yeah, so it'd be like 1, 2, 3 for me, and then maybe this one, and then Revelations.
Wow, dude, you really don't like 4, huh?
No, I do like the remake more than the original 4, but I
they're didn't. Both great. Are the ones, if you had to ask me, like, which one, Tony? You should try it.
4, sure. Yeah.
And I just think, like, yeah, it's kind of... it's 6. Nah. I like those. I even like 6. Like, I have a series, but I just feel like 4... Like, if you're not in the survival horror aspect, 4 is just, like, an amazing action game. And
it... For the 4 remake... is like Leon can move and shoot, like it's not original 4 where he was kind of like standing, and same with 5. I think 5
like post up in a spot. Yeah,
yeah. I like 5 a lot, actually, but yeah, I hope they do remake 5 and give it the kind of proper gun shooting and movement.
I'm a huge fan of 5. 6 I enjoy for the sheer goofiness of pain. I think I played a call with a friend during the pandemic, and it is like a really bad B-movie.
I think it's just really bad, but We talked about it, Jeff, I, and our friend Javi. Both Jeff and Javi are defenders of 6.
It's just, I just don't think it's as bad as people. Like, yeah, it's the worst one, but I just don't think it's as bad as people say.
It's so long. If it wasn't 30 hours long, I think.
I also think it's uneven. Because there are, like, I think, is it Chris and Sherry? What are the parents again? It's the action
Chris,
one.
Chris, Leon, and who's the other one? Is it
Wesker's son? Is it Wesker's son? Yeah.
Resident Evil 6. Jake. Yeah, Jake.
I don't remember.
And Jake is with Sherry.
Yeah, okay.
Chris is with guy Pierce. And I don't see who Leon's with.
I mean, we all know Leon's with Ada, but
Helena. Yeah, that's a character I don't know. And they do encounter Ada in that. Yeah. Yeah, 6. I did not play it co-op. I wonder if that would make it better for me. Everything with friends is better,
yeah,
right?
Yes. I don't think I would get through that because it's. I mean, aside from it's a buggy mess of a game. Like, so many deaths and stuff are just, oh, the game was just not doing what it needed to do. I don't know. I assume he doesn't have Twitter anymore. It's like, I played through with my friend. My friend would always just clip stuff from a PlayStation and post it on Twitter. And there's just moments where the game would just like bug out and do the stupidest thing.
So, yep, that's Resident Evil. I think Jeff and I both think very good.
It's a great Resident Evil. I really like 7 and 8. This is like better than both of those. One last thing I want to say about 4, Resident Evil 4, though. Both the original and the remake. The opening sequence in the village is the most scared I've ever been in a Resident Evil game in both of them and every time. Like, every time it gets me, like, I feel so fucking scared when that guy with the chainsaw shows up. It's just like, I don't know about you guys. I think that's, like, the most masterful level in a video game. And, like, you know, you have top 10 levels in a video game. Like, that's it.
I like the intro to 4.
Does it scare you though? Like when you start to hear the chainsaw, you're like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And you're like running around, jumping through windows and get away from this guy with the chainsaw. It's just unnerving to me.
I think it definitely did unnerve me when I originally played it. Because Leon is not as mobile as he is in the remake, you can move. Like,
yeah, but even still, whatever it is about that like scenario or that sequence, like, really scares me. Like, it really puts me on edge.
It's weird. I get the thing I most remember about that game is the first time you shoot somebody's head off and they start to convert into the bug things.
Oh, it's like
they're not dead. I mean, they are, but it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, these guys can still do damage to you.
Yeah, and they're more dangerous that way sometimes.
Yeah, well, because they get that weird, some of them get that weird stalk that, like, then can, like, whip you.
Yeah.
I think Resident Evil 4, I would tell, if Tony were to, like, I want to play a Resident Evil game, I think that would be the one I'd be like.
Sure, we'll say, if one day when I actually say that, you know, out loud.
Yeah. I mean, dude, you could buy like the original one for like $5 at any time usually, and then like the remake goes on sale as well.
Like a great coaster, really would.
No, I think you'd like Resident Evil 4. It's like a really well done action game, and it's long. It's beefy.
Yeah, it's good. One last question for you, Jeff, on 9. I think I know the answer. I think you mentioned it to me, but how did you play? The game. So the game gives you an option of being like, hey, you can play Grace's sections in first person.
I went recommended with everything.
Huh? Okay, so they recommend first person for Grace and they recommend third person for Leon. I said fuck off and I just played it in third person like a classic.
Yeah. And that was good.
It was so good.
That's good to hear because like if I replay it again, it's going to be all third person. Like I just feel like I don't like that's one thing. Like I think 7 was a return to form and I get why they went to third or first person because like the other indie horror games that were like hot at the time, like what the hell are the games? I can't remember the name of them.
Outlast was the big one at the time.
And there was one other one that was also huge. But yeah.
Amnesia.
Amnesia, yeah.
Yeah.
So I get why they did that. But for me, I just prefer my classic Resident Evil. I like to see my character running around and going around solving puzzles. So like, if I play through it again, it's going to be third person Grace, third person Leon. And I might even consider ink ribbons, which they give you the option of.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so that is the other thing, is there's like multiple difficulty levels. So there's like casual, there's classic, modern, and then there's standard modern, and then standard classic. And the difference between those is modern is like you can just go to the save point and save. There's also a fairly generous autosave, like the game is almost always saving behind you. And then standard classic is where you have to find ink ribbons. They take up a spot in your inventory, and that's how you save, is like classic Resident Evil. I did not play that way. I played modern, and I preferred it instead of having to have an extra slot, especially early on with Grace, because she only has 8 slots in her inventory. But there's an achievement for saving your game with an ink ribbon. I did go back, start a second playthrough, and get to the first save room. So,
well, I don't have to worry about that because I have it on Switch. But I...
But it's also a challenge, so it gives you those completion points, which you can then use to like unlock like unlimited ammo and like cheats, basically.
But yeah, it's like I love the ink ribbon aspect of the originals, but like if you give me the option to not worry about that, I'm typically gonna be like, all right, well, I guess I can just save what I want. It makes everything a hard choice. We're like, do I play more before I go save? You know what I mean? Like you're just like. I only got one ink ribbon. I should probably get a little further and advance more and maybe find more ink ribbons before I should save. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Cause you don't want to like use that last one.
And then be fucked.
Yeah. Where's another one at? That is Resident Evil 9 Requiem. Great game. Earl, what movie are we watching this month?
Do we have to say it again? We are watching Blood Rain from 2005 with
Uwe Boll's Blood Rain. Yes.
The greatest film of all time.
And the greatest film of all time. You know what? I'm very curious about this.
Uwe Boll's Citizen Kane, right here.
Okay. Who wants to take a guess on the tomato meter score?
3%.
Tony nails it with 4%.
Yeah! Wow. I mean, that's where Citizen Kane is too, right? That's what I was saying.
Yeah. That's what everyone's always saying. Citizen Kane, 4% of people, and critics and fans like it.
I will say, I'm always fascinated though, because now there's 51 reviews, which means I think for it to get 4%, a person at? No. Two people have to review it well. So what are the positive reviews? Oh, it's one of those. I don't even. This is again. Sometimes the things like it's the thing. It's lytrules.com from January 20, 2006. It be a stress to call this would be good, but he says fun bad. I would give him credit. This is back in 2006, before like the whole notion of like, you know, like this podcaster is dedicated to movies so bad they're good. What Flop House and how did it get made and everything else.
For those playing along with us, it is available on Prime Video. It is on the Roku channel.
I can't even pretend not to find it.
And I believe that's it. Or Hoopla? I don't know what Hoopla is. Is that
the one with the library cards?
Okay.
I mean, you could buy for it too, but like, yes, I always recommend getting the library card.
Yep. So it's available on those. So we're going to be watching this cinematic masterpiece, Blood Rain from 2005. what'd you say it was, Tony? The Citizen Kane of...
The Citizen Kane of Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be accurate.
We're also going to talk Mini Shoot Adventures, which is our stream, our service game of the month, and we'll we have that's That's a lot. That's a lot to talk about. So we're gonna have so much Blood Rain to talk about. So
I also want blueprints.
Oh, that's also on the Switch now too.
Yeah,
so, Jeff's who's gonna
played
be.
That? Someone's played that, right?
I played it.
Yeah, both Earl and I played it.
Good.
Sure.
It's interesting.
Wow. Okay.
It was
$20, which I think was maybe half off.
I think you might like it, Jeff, since you liked
The Witness.
Yeah.
Yes. I think you would very much like it. Again, I don't think it's a bad game. It's just one of those games. Like, I went through it a few times. I'm like, I don't think I have the patience to actually sit here and like take notes on all of these things and how to interlock and everything. And like, I get it. I see the appeal of it. I'm good.
Yeah.
I think it was like half, it's like great. It's like I think it's like half off on Switch, and I get a few drinks in me, and I go, oh, cool.
I think if nothing else, you'll enjoy the first few runs. I think it's a really well made game. I think you'll go forward, but like at some point, there are a bunch of things where people are like, oh, take notes of this, and I'm like, if I'm taking notes, it's way too much work.
Doing homework. I really, really do like once I. I think I'm done with Pacopia. I really want to wrap up Final Fantasy because I really liked what I played, and so I want to be like excited for the new like the part 2 and 3. You know what I mean?
I am excited for you to get back to it. So
hell yeah!
All right, well we'll be back in 2 weeks. Also, if you need something else to listen to, Jeff and I just dropped the latest Recurring Nightmares, which has guest appearance by our buddy Javi on that as we talk about Cyborg and Nemesis, two Albert Pune films from the late 80s, early 90s. They were interesting for sure.
I think I hated them more than I was the one that picked them. I think I hated them more than you guys. I don't think any of us hated them, but like,
it's hard
to say they're good movies.
They're middling at best.
They're products of their time.
Yep. So there's that. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.